Fueled by Temperance Spirits, Edmonton's leading non-alcoholic beverage provider. Order online for doorstep delivery.
Oilers fans, this holiday season, there is a lot to celebrate. And Temperance Spirits has you covered, curating the best non-alcoholic beverages to keep the party going into the new year. As a small Edmonton-based business, Temperance is rooted in community and bringing people together. Available online, enjoy fast local delivery to your doorstep in the greater Edmonton area.
Whether you're hosting this year's holiday party or looking for the perfect gift, Temperance Spirits is your go-to source for celebrating without the buzz. To make your holidays brighter, order your favorite non-elk drinks at www.temperance-spirits.com and score a festive 15% off with the discount code SDPN.
This season, let the Temperance Spirits online store be your secret to scoring a merry and festive celebration. You can stay connected with them at Temperance Spirits on Instagram and Facebook.
All right, we're back. Welcome back to the first show, 2024. Dennis, me, Oilers win 5-2 over the Philadelphia Flyers. Hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, a great New Year. We're getting back into it. Rolling, still rolling. Oilers win their sixth in a row. Back-to-back games where a player got 5 points. First it was Warren Fogle, then it was now, obviously, Connor McDavid, the more obvious one. And yeah.
I can't take credit for this, but Kelter on the timeline told me, man, great value. McDavid got 5 points. The name brand one got it tonight. Dude, Connor McDavid, what a treat.
What a treat. Gets his 900th career point tonight. What, his 602nd career game. Now he's up to 903. He needs 97 more and I believe 47 games to get to 1,000. Can he do it? It's unlikely. We're hopeful here. Everyone who's watching, want to welcome back. Happy New Year, MGD. Great to see you. Mickey Nader, Swoosh, all the regulars are joining in. Let us know what you thought. I see Swoosh says W. Skinner, W. McDavid. I agree. But yeah, Dennis, what a game. I was worried. It seems like the last couple games, I know that McDavid seems to pile up the points against the Flyers, but like if you just think back to the last game and even a game last year at Rogers Place, both games against the Flyers, Carter Hart kind of stones the Oilers, comes home, plays really well. So I was worried coming into tonight, but you know what? This is a different team than the team that played the Philadelphia Flyers last year, and I want to say, what was that, their 19th win on the season now? And
yeah, that's the 19th of the season. You're right, dude. Like Carter Hart, for the first part of this game, right, it should have been 3-0 after the first period, but Carter Hart just absolutely stonewalled the Oilers for a long time. In the end, though, the better team, the more skilled team comes out. As much as Tortorella doesn't want to see it, like, this is skill hockey, baby. The Edmonton Oilers are not going to take another L from the Flyers.
No, absolutely not. And they got it rolling really quick, right? First shift of the game, they now have what looks to me 2 5-man units. 2 elite 5-man units that would be the first unit on any team that they play on. You have the McDavid, Hyman, Nugent, Hopkins, Bouchard, Ekholm unit, and you have the secondary unit with two players who look like, I know Fogle and McLeod had great advanced stats and whatever, and they always kind of had that. They were playing well. The pucks just weren't going in for them. But my God, beside Leon Draisaitl, do they look like different players? And I know the points for them weren't there tonight, but like the hard work right out of the gate, they almost scored 20 seconds in every time they had the puck. That line was on. The puck was in the Flyers' end, and yeah, they looked excellent tonight. Right off the bat, Fogle
right off the bat
splits the D, goes in. You think Fogle is amazing at creating breakaways, Connor McDavid-esque, Wish.com, Alibaba, what have you. 5-point guy last game, goes in, splits the D, somehow ends up taking a penalty behind the net instead of drawing a hook or a slash on that. Very confusing, whatever. But the Oilers' penalty kill, excellent tonight, as was their power play, which broke a bunch of slumps.
Dude, even before that, like, parting of the sea for Fogle, there was the other opportunity when he went, like, 2-on-1 with Ekholm. He passed it off, and then all of a sudden, we're like, dude, you've been on a heater. Fogle, just shoot the puck. Like, it's not like Ekholm is Connor McDavid. He's not, like, the god of finishing those passes. So just take the shot, man.
Well, I think Fogle kind of thought he was Connor McDavid there looking off to make that pass, right? Like, obviously, Fogle definitely should have shot there. And when Fogle's on the 2-on-1, honestly, 75% of the time, I'd probably rather him taking the shot. But you know what? After a 5-point game, you deserve to have the confidence to try and make a play like that. And obviously, it stuck around tonight. I really like the look of him on his offside on that Drysdale wing, because it looks like Knobloch told him, one time the puck, every opportunity you got. And yeah, Carter Hart played really well tonight and stopped some pretty tough one-timers from Fogle. But I love the looks and I love the shots. And this is the most dangerous I can remember a Warren Fogle looking. And even the Ryan McLeod, just the way he's able to create opportunities with the speed, the way he has now players on his line that he's able to play off of. He can pass to Drysdale and get in a better position. It's not all on him to drive his own line. And they look excellent.
We saw that there's some set plays that they love doing, right? Like Fogle and McLeod love the play from behind the net, right up in front. Clouder can tap home quite a few. He's already done that a couple times this year. So you're seeing these sorts of plays develop as they just become more and more comfortable with each other. And Leon Draisaitl, if you have a guy that can anchor a line whole between like Ryan McLeod and Warren Fogle, Leon Draisaitl, he's been like he's able to quiet down a little bit. He's got these speedy guys and he's able to just let them take a little bit of pressure. And when you have guys forgetting about Dry, oh, that's when the magic can happen.
Exactly. You saw like how he struggled with when Evander Kane was on his wing. And, you know, it's kind of been a carousel of wingers for him this season. He hasn't really had a consistent fit up until now. But finally, he's found these two guys. And it's really found money for those, because these are two third line guys that have come up into the top six and have not missed a beat when that first line is not going or can't really convert on their chances like they, you know, like they have been. That Drysdale line steps, the Drysdale line steps up and they seem to put the puck in the net. And even tonight where, yeah, all the offense came from the McDavid line. And I know Drysdale got the goal with the empty net with the delay on the delayed penalty later on in the third period. But like all the offense came from that line. But it was the Drysdale line that was causing so many problems for the Flyers. They were consistently, what did Fogle draw, two penalties tonight? It was constantly in the Flyers zone. They were creating a nightmare matchup for the Flyers, who were focused so much on McDavid, which allowed Drysdale just to be free. And the other thing I really like about having those two speedy guys on his wings is the defensive responsibility, because you know Evander Kane is not the most responsible winger defensively. And we know Leon Drysdale, well, he does try really hard. He does have major gaps in his game when it comes to the defensive end. Having guys like Ryan McLeod and Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod specifically, who's excellent, excellent defensively. We've seen it in the playoffs. We've seen it all over the place. He's able to cover for Drysdale.
Yeah, tonight there were a couple of transition plays when Ryan McLeod, he gets in between guys, and he was able to pick off quite a few Flyer passes.
Yeah,
he's really, really developed his game in the last, you know, month or so. And I'm so proud of him. Like, obviously, when he signed this contract, it was supposed to be like, oh, okay, you know, McLeod's taken a little bit of a deal for us. He's given us a little bit of a, you know, a discount. And with no goals, people were starting to turn on him. Yep. The pressure was building. And as soon as those floodgates opened, as soon as he got his first couple of points, his first couple of goals, oh, all of a sudden he looks so, so different. Like the confidence tonight you saw in McLeod when he's able to like make little plays, make little dangles. He was feeling it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what comes when you can score a couple of goals.
Five goals in five games coming in tonight. And obviously no goals tonight for Ryan McLeod, but so noticeable. Like obviously Ryan McLeod always has been noticeable just in part because of his speed, but like the ability that he has to allow Leon Draisaitl and play off his line mates and create in the offensive zone off the cycle, not just off the rush, hang onto the puck, create problems for the Flyers, get in the lanes, stop breakout passes, steals, create forced giveaways from the Flyers. He looked excellent. And like you saw tonight early on, like the Oilers, the shots 10 minutes in were 4-4. It was kind of a back and forth game. Like the Flyers were working really, really hard. You know that they're going to work really, really hard. And I think the difference early on, like, yes, Carter Hart played excellent. The difference early on was just the skill, right? I think the Oilers came in, they played hard. The Flyers probably played, I want to say, a little bit harder, if that makes sense. But the thing is, when it comes, it goes head-to-head. The Oilers, like, they aren't going to outskill them, right? And you see kind of late in the period, they break through. Connor McDavid, 1v2, he is 2v2, takes it himself, makes it a 1v2, completely goes around Travis Sanheim. A little bit of interference from Zach Hyman. We've seen it before. The toe of his skate touches the toe of Sanheim's skate. just enough to knock Sanheim off balance. And what a nasty goal leaks through Carter Hart. It's 1-0 going into the intermission. There's a little bit of time left, but
so gutsy too, right? That kind of play, you got guys racing back, and Connor McDavid, dude's got ice in his veins. He does not care. He just held the puck for a little bit longer. Hart had to shuffle a little bit to follow McDavid, and that small window in the five hole. How many? I haven't noticed. Like, McDavid hasn't been really shooting five hole this season.
You know what? Now that you say that, that's actually a really good point. I know that his shots are down this year, but yeah, one of the specific things, like how many goals in his career have gone five hole, and we'd see it so much where it was such a quick snap that it would be in the net before the goalie even goes down, like so deceptively fast with his release, right? And we haven't seen that as much this year, but you know, in the last even 15 games, Connor McDavid has been really picking up players. We all know he was injured, obviously, right? Like, yeah. He has been. But now, like, this is the highest level of play that we've seen so far from Connor McDavid this season. 5 points tonight, obviously. Didn't miss a beat. He was super fast. It wasn't this, oh my God, what's going on? McDavid looks crazy tonight, like kind of like Warren Fogle did last game. Like, he's just kind of ramping up slowly and slowly. Like, no one expected Warren Fogle to come out tonight and have two goals and an assist or whatever. But Connor McDavid, it's just consistent ramping up from game one to where we are now. Yeah, he started a little bit lower than where he usually does. But man, oh man. Man, oh man, did Connor McDavid look excellent tonight, right? Yeah.
He was unbelievable. And the scariest thing too, we talk about it because we're going to talk about it a little bit more because, you know, obviously career point number 900 for McDavid, but the scariest thing is we're not halfway into the season yet. McDavid ramps up, like you said, gradually as the course of the season goes on. You asked me way, way earlier, in the beginning of this season, whether you think he's going to get to 1,000 points, dude. At this rate, he is just going to keep on exploding in points. And I love to see it. He obviously is feeling a lot better. And McDavid is such an expressive guy at the big pinnacle moments, right? You think about the win, the shootout win in LA. He popped off when Ryan scored that goal. And you love to see it. Like, he's at these key moments just unabashedly, unashamedly emotional, right? He will celebrate super, super hard, even though, and in common times like this, he scores point number 900. He doesn't really care.
Not at all. Not at all. I think he celebrated harder for that Derek Ryan shootout victory than he had for any goal that he scored so far this season, right? Like, that just goes to show you the type of teammate, the type of leader that Connor McDavid is. And the Oilers are so lucky. We are so lucky to be able to sit down and watch him every single game. I'm sure we both watch all 900 of the, or 602 career games. We've seen all 903 now career points of Connor McDavid, and every single one feels like a treat. Cherish this, remember this, because you know, I know Oilers fans are used to greatness by this point, right? Obviously it's before our time, but you go from Gretzky, and then you obviously there's a decent amount of lean years, and then you go right to the Drysdale McDavid years, whatever. But remember, there are times when you have, you know, Dustin Penner leading your team in goals, Taylor Hall, Jordan Eberle leading your team in points, right? So we are so lucky to watch Connor McDavid. But yeah, just to get back into the game, kind of right after Connor McDavid scores that goal, there was this weird kind of penalty situation, right, where it starts with Igor Zamula behind the Flyers net, horse collaring Zach Kyman. They go to the power play, but the Flyers, really dangerous team shorthanded, lead the league in shorthanded goals. Scott Laughton goes in alone. And McDavid, really weak call on this one. Connor McDavid wasn't happy. I get it, but if you're going to call that, call it all the time.
That's why you can see he was chatting with the refs all the way to the box and as the period ended. Because every single night, McDavid has that amount of holding, that amount of just like a bump of pressure on him. Whenever he's on the ice, whenever he's picking up speed, guys will get that arm in on him. And he honestly didn't really hold Laughton. He just kind of like nudged him.
To me, it's a pretty nice defensive play. Like, how many times have we seen Cody Ceci, Darnell Nurse? We saw Vincent Desharnais later in the game do that to a Flyer trying to create a breakaway. I can't remember who it was. It might have also been Scott Laughton later on in the third period. But yeah, they give McDavid the penalty. It was almost a little bit of an even-up-y situation to me. And then it was a very weird kind of broken-up power play, right? Because then right back after. Who was it on the Flyers that took another penalty?
Travis Konecny.
Travis Konecny takes another one shorthanded, ends up going a 4-on-3. But on this 4-on-3, and I know people were saying, why does the Oilers power play suck now? I mean, I get it. They were like 1-for-21 or whatever in their last 21 attempts. But this 4-on-3 also didn't have Connor McDavid, who the power play kind of runs through, obviously. So, like, I'm not going to, like, you want him to score. And, like, they probably, you know, 4-on-3, you want more open ice. Like, you should score with the talent that's on the ice. Like, we can't complain about Hyman, Nugent, Hopkins, Draisaitl, Bouchard. But Connor McDavid wasn't on the ice there. He comes back. It's chopped up. It's broken up. The second period, at the start of the second period, they kind of get, like, what, 26 seconds of power play time. And nothing really comes of it. They don't even have Draisaitl out. They just throw out the first line and... Yeah, like the Oilers were creating chances because, like, right at the start of the second period, Connor McDavid, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who was dangerous, ended the night with two goals, hits the far side of the post, beats Carter Hart. How did it stay out?
So close. And like, that's the other thing, too. We're blessed by McDavid, absolutely. But having Nuge on this team as well as a winger for McDavid, Nuge and Hyman are both just insane. And I know we find a lot of love for Hyman because the dude is a workhorse.
Yeah,
you see tonight guys were draped all over him and Hyman is still shuffling, still moving, controlling the puck. But Nuge, he makes every other player he's playing with better. And that's something that we should never gloss over, the fact Absolutely. That we have Ryan Nugent Hopkins.
But can I just say this stretch of games, this season. And I know he had 100 points last year. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has always been a great player. But this might be the best I've ever seen Ryan Nugent-Hopkins play 5-on-5. The guy's aging like a fine wine. He is so much more dangerous 5-on-5 than he ever has been before. It's unfathomable to think that he's getting better. He's improving his game in the areas in which he lacked. And he's, what, 29 years old now? 30? Over 30, I think at this 30. Point. Yeah. And he's just getting better. How unreal is that? And the same goes for Zach Hyman, who now has 22 goals in 30-some games. And when they picked up Hyman from the Leafs, I was like, I was worried about the contract. I'll be the first one to admit that. I was like, okay, I get it. Hyman's a good player. I probably watched the Leafs the second most out of any other team in the NHL. I liked Hyman. I was hopeful that he could, you know, chip in 25 and 25, 20 and 20, something like that. And oh my God, this guy's on what a 55 goal pace at this point. He has been so unreal. He's worth $12 million. He's elite.
Way above his contract, dude. Like Zach Hyman, and the other thing too, right? So many non-Oilers fans, they look at the Hyman contract. They say it's famous. You look at the Twitter. He's the worst. This is the worst signing of all time. It's going to age terribly.
Editor and Leaf.
Yeah. It's so fucking funny when you look back at on it now. Same thing with the Nuge contract. They were like, ooh, it's a deal now. But when he ages, he's not going to have the same amount of productions.
Dude, these are aging like wine. These are like meats that, okay, they're worth this now, but if we put them in the dry, we dry edge them for this long, they're even better and they're worth more money. It's unreal. And I see people talking about the bottom six, and I guess that's one kind of thing that we can get into a little bit later on, but we're just going to continue kind of run through the game, what happened here, and then we'll jump into the things, because obviously kind of big news, and we'll get back in the game in a second, but big news, next game against Ottawa, both Sam Gagner and Dylan Holloway will be back, so the lineup changes will have to be made, and I get that everyone's unhappy with the way the fourth line played. And you know, we're getting a little nitpicky, and I can't believe that's me of all people saying that, when they were just going 8-1 and I'll be yelling about the one goal instead of, you know, cheering for the eight, but self-admittedly, but anyways, kind of after all that, there was kind of a stretch in the second where it did look like the Flyers were having some pressure, and Stuart Skinner came up with some pretty decent saves to keep them in it. You know, nothing spectacular yet at this point, though he saved the spectacular saves for later on in the third period, but he did a good job keeping the Oilers in it at that point. Draisaitl and Nurse had a 2-on-1. Sorry, you get it.
I do want to highlight one. Like, at one point, it turned into a bit of like a goalie battle.
Yeah.
Right? Because you had Skinner making great saves. You had Hart. Oh, the Hart robbing Janmark on the rebound where he just stretched his back legs out. Like, if you're Janmark, yeah, you want to elevate that. But at the same time, like, it's just wild to see these two Edmonton kids, like, grow up, play against each other in junior, and then all of a sudden, like, hey, they're facing off in Edmonton and they're putting on a show.
Well, until it was Zach Hyman on Hyman's and McDavid's 900th career point with a beautiful backhand pass, gets the puck pushed down to him from Leon Draisaitl. Two Flyers converge, a Connor McDavid in the corner. How did he even see Zach Hyman in alone, who, by the way, is just excellent at putting himself in that position in the slot alone in front of the opposition that he did it multiple times tonight. This was in Carter Hart, you know, credit. He stopped a lot of them, I think two or three of them. And then, but this time, Carter Hart couldn't beat Zach Hyman, pulls it to the backhand, roofs it over Carter Hart. That's the second goal of the game. The Oilers are up 2-0 at this point. And yeah, unreal performance from Hyman, obviously.
What else is new? That's just incredible. Like, Hyman leading the team in goals. I don't know how many people would have that on the betting card if you wanted to restart the season. But yeah, it was 2-0 Oilers. Things were looking great, but you know the Oilers. I mean, when you get to a point when you're starting to feel a little bit comfortable, that's when you should be the least comfortable. Because right afterwards, I mean, Travis Konecny, it's a 2-on-1. It's hard to put that on Skinner, but at the same time, right, this was a little bit of an unraveling of the game. That's when things started to get a little bit more freeform. You know, the defensemen, I don't think they played horrible tonight, but you could clearly see, like, Boosh, CeCe, Kulak, they weren't doing. I thought Ekholm was actually a little bit worse than his average. Like, Ekholm was noticeably, you know, well, I don't know if he's feeling something, but he's notably down a little bit.
I think the puck movement from the defense wasn't as crisp, wasn't as clean as it normally is. Obviously, Evan Bouchard had a couple, you know, stumbles here, stumbles there. Not a big deal. I mean, he's still excellent. I still love him. I still think he's the best defenseman on the Oilers. I will agree with you about the Ekholm thing. I think this was probably one of his weaker games, obviously not including the games at the beginning of the season when he was injured. I think Darnell Nurse was the Oilers' best defenseman tonight. He was really good. I was really happy with Darnell Nurse to play. Cody Ceci, guys. Cody Ceci always finds himself in so many positions where you're just like, if it was any other defenseman in the NHL, if it was Simone Benoit, he would have 10 goals by now. Like, Cody Ceci puts himself in good positions. He has a good hockey brain. And then you're just like, just the finish and the puck skills just can't match with what his head is telling him to do. Like honestly, I've been happy with Cody Ceci. You tell he just physically, there's a limiter. Like, he just can't go past that. And
it's a short circuit.
It kind of sucks.
Whenever he has that one look and he's like, he's staring down the goalie, the ice is clear in front of him. He's just, the brain short circuits it and he just whiffs it and gets it right into the crest.
Exactly.
I don't know what's up.
Exactly. Cody Ceci had one, this is later on in the game, but he had one play where he was kind of on the half wall, kind of coming in the offensive zone, no pressure on him, and he could have taken the shot. And he makes a beautiful cross-crease pass to Ryan McLeod, who had his stick lifted. And he was setting stuff up, but again, if it's anyone else, like, man, that is a goal. But yeah, kind of to jump in after the Oilers go up 2-0. I believe it was Zach Hyman tries a draw pass for Evan Bouchard, puts him kind of in an awkward position. He should have dropped it to the other Oiler, the forward, kind of on the left side, drops it behind him for Bouchard, ends up creating an odd man rush for the Flyers, who Travis Konecny goes in, makes a beautiful move on Stuart Skinner, goes back up 2-1, kind of puts momentum back a little bit in the Flyers court, but he goes right around Matthias Ekholm. That's not a play that we're normally used to from Matthias Ekholm. We saw him and Konecny battling earlier in the game, right? So that was kind of something maybe Konecny got in his head. I'm not 100% sure exactly what it was, but Konecny did go right around Ekholm there to put the Flyers, or to bring the Flyers within one. And then we kind of have another kind of penalty thing where Matthias Janmark in the neutral zone, I don't know what he was trying to do. It's such a dumb penalty. This guy just prone to taking some brain dead penalties, slew foots the Flyers player. And then I guess he's standing there. Like, it was an atrocious slew foot. You knew it was a penalty too, right there.
It was clearly a penalty. Like, I looked at it so many times. I'm like, hey, does he draw in the leg? Can I give Janmark anything? Because I feel awful for him last game. Last game, he had, he got cross-checked and he got 2 minutes after being cross-checked and laying down on the ice. And then he had another, like, kerfuffle where someone sucker-punched him in the face. Yeah. And he got, like, 2 and 10. I was like, okay, I feel bad for Janmark. But that one, It's atrocious. I mean, he's trying to go for a play, I know, but he doesn't.
You gotta be aware.
Leg a little bit.
You gotta be aware of your surroundings. The NHL's fast. I get it, but you gotta be aware. You gotta be understanding where everyone is on the ice. He wasn't. What I thought was the saving grace, though, is Tyson Forrester comes from Tibet. He comes skating across the ice and just full on shoves him right to the ice. I'm like, okay, they went to commercial break. So I just assumed it would be an even up call because that's kind of just how it is. They usually call that retaliation. Nope. Flyers to the penalty box. It went right in the box. Yanmark was in the box there, but the Oilers penalty kill got back on track in California. Excellent tonight. No problem.
Two massive stops by Skinner, right? Like that power play. Philadelphia's power play sucks. We know that. But at the same time, like Skinner was doing good. Like he zoned back in. He forgot about the Konechny thing, moved back on. But
yeah, he had the save on Scott Laughton on that power play. Excellent. And then right at the end of the power play, Bobby Brink tries to get home and he made two really good saves on Bobby Brink. That was when they needed Skinner. He was there, and Skinner was excellent. Honestly, one of my favorite games from Stuart Skinner this season.
Until the next play.
Yes, exactly. This is where, if the game ended differently, this would be the first thing that I would be talking about.
This would be the goal that's like, if you had the save, then this entire game changes and all the narrative. Like, dude, Mark Stahl hasn't scored in 30 games.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's the one?
That's nothing. I watch Cody Ceci. But yeah, gets his first of the season on Stuart Skinner. Shot in the slot. You see Ceci. Mark Stahl comes down. Nurse has his guy. Ceci is on the guy. And then Stahl cuts in. Gets in there alone. Ceci obviously not quick enough to get in the lane. Stahl just plainly beats Stuart Skinner. Again, if the Oilers lost, you'd like him to have it. But, you know, looking at this game as a whole, not a big deal. Goals are allowed to go in. Just like I say, you're allowed to make a save. Goals, like, you're allowed to stop good chances. Goals, shots are allowed to beat you. It is the NHL. I know it's Mark Stahl, but it is Mark Stahl.
And you wash all of us in beer league, right?
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, right after that, it looked like the Flyers were kind of coming because the Flyers are coming. They had a little bit more pressure. Nothing happened. The Oilers are in the zone, get back in the offensive zone. Evan Bouchard dangling at the point, probably his best play of the night. He makes all those little moves that we haven't seen Oilers defensemen in 15 years make. Cuts in, kind of starts streaking down the wing. Cam Atkinson, who already got diced up, by Draisaitl or McDavid on that play, trips Evan Bouchard, Oilers to the power play, and finally the power play breaks through. Evan Bouchard, it was a great keep. The Flyers were working super hard to get the puck out. He gets the puck down to, I believe it was Hyman.
Honestly, like all five players on the power play contributed to that goal going in. Because before the Bush hold in, Draisaitl also stopped that puck from leaving the zone as well, right?
Yeah.
Draisaitl stopped the puck, went across over to Bush. Bush had to, I mean, it was a little bit of a cheat play. I can't remember who it was. Was it Konechny again?
Might have been Konechny.
Someone was on the Flyers was trying to basically chip it past Bouchard.
They were going for the short. The Flyers are so dangerous shorthanded, right? But they get it in, they keep it in, goes back down behind the net. It was Zach Hyman out to Connor McDavid, who instead of taking the shot, passes it to Ryan Johnkins for the tap and goal. No mistake on this one. Oilers are back up 3-2, and there's no looking back from here.
And what a beauty. Like tic-tac-toe, just unbelievable play. Like Hyman behind the net is so dangerous. Like you cannot shake the puck off of Zach Hyman. If you let him sit there, he makes plays like that. All of a sudden Nuge has it in the back of the net. Like, oh man, a power play goal that we haven't seen in a little while. I hope this triggers something, because Edmonton, if their power play is going and their 5-on-5 is like we've seen in the last, you know, 6-7 games, this is going to be such a deadly team.
Yeah, totally. And Austin Hockey in chat, who I saw has made a YouTube channel, and he's doing really well. Great, great growth on his channel. Makes some awesome Oilers videos. Says, I like the win streak, but the boys are giving up a bit too much for my liking right now. And I tend to agree. Like, the Flyers did get some chances. Like, this wasn't the... And again, the Flyers have been a good team this year, despite what their roster looks like. But I mean, when you look at put the two rosters up head-to-head, you probably like those to outchance the Flyers a little bit more. Stuart Skinner did a good job save making the big saves, like, on the breakaway when they were up 5-2 with the pad. Like, Stuart Skinner did a good job keeping them in the game. But, yeah, he said, even against Anaheim and San Jose, goalies had to stay on their toes. Totally agree. McDavid 900, let's fucking go. And I agree with their Austin, MGD, and Swoosh giving him some compliments in chat. As well, but yeah, kind of after that, we go to the third period here, Dennis, and this is the thing, that Fogle, McLeod, Drysdale line comes out, and this is where it starts to get away from the Flyers. They come out, immediately draw a penalty, hard work, on the late penalty, Connor McDavid, Leon Drysdale, one-timer, back of the net, what else is new? 4 points so on clean. The night, and then just to finish it off, because we're going to talk about, we can get into kind of the after effects here, if anyone's got any questions for the press conference, go toss them in chat right now. But yeah, on the final goal, Zach Hyman pushes it up the boards, gets it to Connor McDavid, who streaks in, creates a late 2-on-1 over to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Second goal of the night, no mistake, beautiful finish, roofs it over Carter Hart. The Flyers are mad, they're playing hard, they can't do anything, and the Oilers finish them out, win 5-2, six in a row, roll in again. I want anyone know the score in Arizona's game, it's very important. Throw it in chat, I don't have it up on my screen, so I can't check.
I mean, looks like we are one point out of a playoff spot right now.
That is awesome. Yeah,
Florida capped it off, so that's it. We are 1 point behind the Arizona Coyotes.
And dude, if Toronto beats LA tonight, like the Oilers, man, after being 2-9-1, it's unbelievable to think that there is a legitimate shot that they could be what, 7 points out of the top, their divisional spots now. Like, Honestly, though, it might be better for them to finish in a wild card spot, cross over to the Central Division, get a way easier path to the Cup instead of having to go for their teams like LA, Vegas, and now, I guess, Vancouver, who's just beating the shit out of Ottawa right now.
I mean, is it still ridiculous? Oh, my God. Oh, no, it's 5-2 now.
Oh, Ottawa scored. Nice. Well, we need Ottawa to get a little bit back into it. They can't go too hard for that game against Edmonton. I believe it's on Friday or Saturday. Saturday. So yeah, like, Ottawa's obviously the next opponent. We got a couple of guys coming back in the lineup in the chat. Let us know, who would you pull out for in favor of Sam Gagner and Dylan Holloway, because they will be back. And it kind of goes to say with what I believe MGD was talking about in the chat about the bottom six. Like, and I saw people talking about Adam Ernie, who, you know what, he had a bad start. He's been so absolutely mediocrely fine that, like, whatever. He's kind of not making those egregious mistakes that are ending in goals. He's not constantly hemmed in the defensive zone. He's just there. You'd like someone obviously better. Connor Brown, I thought, had a really good rush late in the game. I think Kulak drew a penalty going for the rebound off of Brown shot. I want to say it was either Kugel. Oh, it was McLeod. It was McLeod, not Kulak.
Yeah.
I don't want Adam Ernie to stay in MGD, but you know. Adam Ernie 110% will come out of the lineup. Like, Sam Gagner is a good depth scorer. He's been a really good depth scorer for the Edmonton Oilers this season. So he's coming back in for sure. It's now not a slam dunk, though, that Dylan Holloway will be put back in the top six. Like, I was the first person at the top of the hill yelling, Dylan Holloway beside Leon Draisaitl, Dylan Holloway beside Leon Draisaitl, Dylan Holloway beside Leon Draisaitl early on in the season, right? But now, Fogle, McLeod, I'm not breaking that up. I'm not messing with a good thing. I saw a suggestion on Twitter to make Dylan Holloway the third line center. What do you think about that?
That's what I wanted to ask you. Well, here's the thing, right? We remember when Gagner was healthy. Derek Ryan and Gagner are just a beautiful pair together. So if possible, if Gagner's come back and he's good to play with Derek Ryan again, that leaves that third line center spot a little vacant with Ryan McLeod moving up to the second line. I say give the kid a shot.
Absolutely.
Because here's the thing. You can surround him with some guys that will be able to back him up too, right? Like, as long as there's like, Kane will take care of the physical stuff. You just need someone defensively minded. And if that's not Matthias Janmark, I don't know who is, right? Like, Matthias Janmark is supposed to be the guy who's responsible on that line. So You throw that line, you give him a shot at center. Obviously, he's just come back from injury. I think he's going to have a little bit of a tough start, but I give him a little bit of a leash. Like, I think,
oh, totally. You have
at least like 10 games leash.
Well, so if anyone in the top six starts to falter, if there's an injury, Holloway should be the first one up into the top six. And I think then he should have a lot of leash. Now, Evander Kane has not He's a very streaky player. He's been struggling again, for the last number of games. He obviously scored last game, but he didn't look that really effective tonight. He's kind of moving his feet just in the air. Just I don't know what he's doing out there. Whatever. I saw Spiel say take a Vander Kane lineup. I don't necessarily agree with that one. I don't think you can do that.
The question is, right? Like Kane is not a puck carrier, right? He's not the guy.
He tries to be. He wants to be, but he's not.
He switched to a beautiful, shining white stick, and every time he's on the ice, I can't help but notice. I'm like, damn, that stick is nice. But right now, he's playing with Derek Ryan and Matthias Janmark, and you're like, who's the guy? Who's the puck carrier on that line?
And I know, sorry, and I'm kind of thinking about a little bit off what you said, but I was reading the comments, and they're talking about what the third line would look like, and Dylan Holloway was a center throughout college. Like he centered Cole Caulfield. I'm blanking on the school, Wisconsin. He centered Cole Caulfield for their entire college career, and he was an excellent center. He was drafted as a center. I think a third line with Dylan Holloway being the center could be really good. He's just as good of a skater as Ryan McLeod. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how fast he's able to get back up to speed, because you know most players after they miss a long period of time aren't that effective right off the bat. But Dylan Holloway's really young. He's really mobile. He's really good puck skill. So we'll have to see. I think, and I see a lot of people talking about putting Kane on his wing. I honestly, like, the more that I think about it, and I don't know if this is crazy, but, like, and you can't have Evander Kane on the third line. Evander Kane, has to probably be there beside Holloway. But, like, to me, like, I'm just thinking out loud. Would a line of Holloway flanked by Gagné and Ryan not be really good? Because Gagné's got not the fastest, obviously, but he's got the puck skills to be really effective when they have possession and they're holding in the offensive zone. Derek Ryan is a little bit more defensively minded than Sam Gagné. Doesn't have as good of puck skills as Sam Gagné, but he still is a really smart hockey player. Like, cerebral, I don't know why. I feel a little crazy. It feels like a weird combination. That's a fourth, third line hybrid, depending on the utilization by Chris Knobla. And Chris Knobla has never coached Dylan Holloway up until this point. He's been injured his entire through the first 21 games of Chris Knobla's thing. So we'll have to see what he thinks of Dylan Holloway. But it'd be really interesting.
I don't hate that line, but here's the situation, right? Like, if you have that lineup, then that means Kane is a fourth liner, and he's playing with Hamblin and still Janmark, because I don't see, like, Ernie and Brown are not really making any sort of challenge to Matthias Janmark's position. So, but yeah, like, that, I wouldn't hate it, but that's a tough situation for Kane.
Yeah, I mean, so you probably are ending up with something like Kane, Ryan. Well, no, I just read MGD's thing and it threw me off, but you're probably going to end up with something like Kane, Ryan, Holloway, something like that. What was the line? What was the fourth line earlier in this year that was really effective, that it went like five games in a row getting a point? Was it Hamblin, Gagné, Ryan?
Yeah.
I go back Hamblin, to that.
Flanking. Exactly. I think that is the probably the best bet. And then Holloway centering Kane and Janmark.
And this is the thing. Jay Woodcroft, massive Janmark guy. Now that I'm thinking about it, and I have to check on Natural Stat Trick, I don't know if anyone in chat would know. What is Matthias Janmark's penalty kill utilization after the coaching change? Because if it seems like they're much... Knobla is a Fogel guy, Erie guy. So it seems like they're much more reliant on McLeod, Fogel, Ryan, Nugent Hopkins. Like, I'm thinking about it, and I don't really remember much of Matthias Janmark out on the penalty kill after the coaching change here. So I would not be shocked if Connor Brown stays in the lineup, because, again, he had a good rush. And he is being utilized by Chris Knobla, again, another Erie guy. And you see a third line of Kane, Holloway, Brown, and Janmark is the one that comes up.
When we're playing in that sort of space, I wouldn't mind either, because it's not the end of the world, right? But I just double checked. Janmark did participate in at least three of the four penalty kills.
Okay.
The one of the penalty kills, he was just right at the end of the shift, so I'm not going to give that one to him.
Like, he was in the box, I guess, for at least one of them.
Yeah. That must have been it. Yeah, that's right. So that's when he popped out. So, yeah, three out of the four when he's available. Sure, I'm going to say it looks like Janmark is still being trusted with that PK role. But at the same time, like, you go with whoever's hot at that instance, right? Like if Janmark is playing well, right now he hasn't been. So maybe you do take him out, you get Brown in there, try and just convert one of these many chances that he's been having into a goal for him. I mean, Adam Ernie did score a goal, so you argue that, that's hotter than Janmark.
Exactly, and we'll have to see. We could debate lines for the next 2 hours, right? So there isn't much going on in the chat for the press conference, in terms of the press conference, though.
I mean, I wanted to ask you one question. And it's going back to it. I touched on it a little bit. But to rephrase it again, like Connor McDavid, point number 900, obviously, he ended up going for 5.9 tonight. So he ends up now 97 points away from 1,000. There are 47 games remaining. That is a 2.0 something point per game that he has to go for now. Any other player? Probably not happening. Connor McDavid, 2 points a game? I'm like, that's actually real close. Like, easily, maybe not. But do you think, I ate crow on this earlier, do you think 1,000 points for Connor McDavid in this season?
To be a realist, I want to say no. 50-50 shot. There is a 50-50 shot that he does it. He's Connor McDavid. He always comes on stronger in the second half. We'll have to see. I'm going to be a realist. I'm going to be a hater. I'm going to be a pessimist. I'm going to say no. He doesn't do it. He gets it within like the first five games of the of next season. But I'd love to see it. Love to see it. What are your thoughts?
Would love to see. I mean, when you asked me the question of 1,000 McDavid points in this season, I was saying, no, it's not going to happen. I'm not sure if I threw out this number, but in my brain, I was thinking 980, 985, something like that. And the Oilers were playing at that time so poorly that I was thinking, you're not going to be able to feed pucks to McDavid to try and get him to that milestone 1,000, right? Every game is still going to have to be a must-win game. At the pace that things are going for the team, as well as the pace that McDavid's on right now for his point streak, dude, like, I'm a believer.
Okay.
I'm feeling it. Like,
I hope you're right.
Before this game, I was still in the 980, 985 camp. Dude, a 5-point night makes all the difference.
Dude, one or two more 5-point nights, which is not out of the realm of possibility. All of a sudden, he's playing at his career average, essentially, to get 1,000 points this season. So we'll have to see. It's going to be a really interesting next set of games here. The Oilers are now cruising. They're 3 or 4 games now above 500. They're rolling. They got a really light schedule for the next month or so in January, and then it kind of tightens up in the back half of the year. But hopefully by that point, we're well into a playoff spot and we can focus on the trade deadline, the needs of a goalie, a right center, a defenseman, a winger, all the different stuff we're going to talk about and have fun later on a game over Edmonton. But this has been a long one for us. The Oilers win 5-2 over the Philadelphia Flyers. I want to thank all 47 I saw at one point watching. If you're still in chat, go ahead, hit like, hit subscribe. We're so close to 100,000 subscribers here at SDPN. Dennis, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Dennis Lee, YEG. Zach, where can they find you?
You can find me at ZWheel97 on Twitter, yelling about the Edmonton Oilers. That's it for us. Take care. I'll be on here on Saturday with Maud, breaking down the Oilers and the Ottawa Senators. So excited for that. Look forward to seeing you all there. That's all from us. Take care. Have a good night, and let's play La Bamba, baby.
Play La Bamba, baby. Good night.